Welcome to Marooned at MacBite's headquarters. Day 116. You ignoring me?
No, I couldn't remember which day it was.
I've been like that since February, Mike.
Just so I'll let you say it on your own.
Hello! How is everybody? Mike's a tinge excited. I blame you people for this. Greatly. He's playing with software, aren't you, Mike?
No, I'm wondering what an unoccupied extra device is.
Jonathan will know. It's because he's thinking about setup, Jonathan. Good evening. Hello, Deb, CQCQ. It's all to do with the iOS versions. This is the issue.
Extra devices show up in your online account My Devices page. If you see a new device below your Mac, like on the image above, then you do have an unoccupied extra device and can start using mobile apps straight away. If you're using setup, in case you're using setup on two or more Macs and want to free up a seat for an iOS device, just click disconnect device. Finally, if you only see a single Mac, because I thought you could only have one Mac.
That's what it said.
Connected to setup and no extra devices, contact our support team and ask to add an additional device to your account.
That's probably why they took away the two seats on Mac.
Yeah.
To open one up on iOS, but I'm not being funny. I have an active 7 iPads sat next to me. And I want the ability to use the app on all of them, you know, not one, and then start managing them. That's not how iOS apps work.
I only saw it in Slack from Debbie.
Earlier. Are you sure it was Debbie?
It was Debbie, yes.
Okay, in that case it was Debbie.
As opposed
not Deb
to who?
Or Deborah.
No, it was Debbie, yes.
Right, okay.
I'll go and check.
Jonathan had two seats, used them both already, so won't be moving over to iOS anytime soon. I don't work that much on iOS, to be honest. You mean you're not an iOS-only fundamentalist?
Right. Do you want
just
to go and
saying.
Play?
Is it time to go and play or time to snooze, Lola?
You want to play?
I want to play, Daddy.
You want to play?
Go take me and find my football, Daddy. Oh, she's been so good today. She's adorable. I must admit, this setup malarkey, I can see the benefit of it, obviously. But the managing of devices and stuff, let's be honest. Most people, you can only have one person logged into an iOS device. So you could log out and then log in on a different Apple account. But surely the idea is it's a personal device, more so than a computer. I mean, Mike's got one computer, I've got another. So our computers are personal devices, but you could log in as different people. But to make the iOS stuff, to start limiting what devices you can have it on, just seems ludicrous. You've probably got a phone, you've probably got an iPad, there's two. And if you've got a Mac as well, then to have a minimum of three devices would seem logical. They're just overcomplicating it. I shall go and I shall have a look. I mean, it's good for stuff like MindNode. Paul and I have long bemoaned the MindNode business. Because Ulysses made it work. So if Ulysses could make it work, then I'm sure everybody else could make it work. Is this a separate thing or is it all rolled into one? They are getting greedy with their prices and stuff because it's only you. I can't tell you the number of times I've been forced through whatever reason to just pick up another device and run with it, literally. You know the issues we've had with YouTube. Christmas was particularly bad. I think it was 3 weeks on the trot, wasn't it? We got kicked out. So about 10 days ago, when it died a sad death at the end of it, I said to Mike, we're going to need a plan B with this. This is ridiculous. YouTube was still sat there receiving, but it wouldn't actually let you rebroadcast to an open stream. So the stream's there and you're just seeing like either a frozen screen or a black screen, but it wouldn't let me rehook my broadcast application to this open stream. So Mike and I sat there with like, we're going to need a plan B. And a plan B could involve a completely different device, which if my broadcasting application is married to one machine, how am I going to do that? It just makes managing it overcomplicated. So I wish they would do away with that. I remember saying to Mike, I looked at the pricing on SetApp, and I'm still of the opinion that I don't have enough apps that I haven't already got. The apps they've got there are fantastic for the price if you're prepared to rent them. And I know some people don't like the concept of renting software, full stop. But if you think about it, even when you've bought software, there's no guarantee you'll be able to install it, because now it's 32-bit and your operating system 64-bit, or it's as old as the hills and it just doesn't work. There are lots of reasons why something that you've bought in good faith, whenever you bought it, isn't working anymore. So renting it, at least what you're renting, it's guaranteed to work. And I'll caveat that with depending on the operating system that you're running. So you may have to upgrade from High Sierra to Mojave or Catalina to make some of this work. But basically, there won't be any single application in setup that just doesn't work anymore, or it wouldn't be there. So I can see it all from that perspective. But this, and I said to Mike, I would be prepared to go to like $14.99 a month, which is what we pay for Spotify. But if you think, now that's a family thing. We could actually have four more people on it. So if Lola wanted her own account, she could have one free of charge. Sadly, we just don't have any kids to share it with. It's a household family thing. You've got to put your addresses with it, and everybody's address should be the same address, basically, for that to work. Hello, Simon. But the fact that it's one machine for $9.99, the family thing for $19.99 is four max. But it's four different people. It's not actually, it says four computers, but when we looked into it, it was like, oh, it needs four different accounts. I haven't got four different accounts, they're just me. But I'd happily pay what we pay for Spotify. But if you think about the way Spotify works, they don't stop you with devices. They have a clever way of working, and I would be quite happy for that, which is if I'm playing Spotify on one device, so it's on my Mac and I'm about to leave the house, those were the days, and I pick up my phone, I just say play on my phone, and I walk out with my phone in my hand and it carries on working. And then when I get to the car, I tell it to play on there and that's fine. And then when I come back in, it's on all of the echoes in the extension, and then I've got it on the kitchen, and then I walk through the house and it follows me round. There's only one instance of it playing, but it's on as many devices as you want. Why can't we have that? Because there's only one of me, obviously. That's what I would really like. Now, I know what they're saying is you can, I forget the term they used. Yeah, Jonathan will know, but basically disable it on one and then activate it on another. Who's got the time to sit there and piddle around like that? Why? I don't have to do that with Spotify. It just follows me around. Obviously, I have to tap things, but it follows me around. And if you think about your personal devices, your iPads and your phone, they are very much personal. They open looking at your face, sans mask, or your fingerprint. Surely they could do that. That then I would be interested, potentially. Now, you see, you said you had two seats, and I know the last time I looked, it was two seats. But if you look at the pricing page now, it's not. It's one. It's the same price. So I'm reckoning that you're grandfathered onto it. Mike's still in two minds over this. Software-wise, there's stuff he hasn't renewed with an in-app purchase, a subscription in-app purchase via the App Store. But it's the fact it's one device that's upsetting him. He'd rather have two. Right. It's great SQL Studio Pro is on an iOS device, but can you honestly imagine writing a complex query and executing it on an iPhone screen? Jonathan, there are people who do. Some people have more time than is safe for them. It's nice to be able to do it in an emergency. But as you're saying, I don't think that would be... a complex query. I think it would be like you're out and you need to do something and you need to do it now. And you will then put up with a little bit of friction to do it because you'll sit back and marvel you were able to do it on your phone. I remember, and this doesn't seem like that long ago, but in terms of what I was able to do, it's a million years ago. We were going to Bolton, which is about 23, 25 miles away. We were virtually living at the theatre at the time because my favourite actor was in town and I was watching the same play about 19 times. So I headed off up there and I said to Mike, I'll put the review up during the interval. In fact, I think we were there. It was a Saturday and they do things called, what were they called? Investigate days. And basically, it's where you spend about 6 to 8 hours with the actors, and they'll either do like they'll talk you through what they did in the rehearsal process, or they'll give you some rehearsed read-throughs, or you can, they actually sometimes have some of the audience volunteer to go up and like take one of the roles, and then they will do like a scene with them. It's fantastic, brilliant, love it. And we went up there to do that. And I said, well, once we've done the matinee, we were hanging around, we're going to have dinner and then we're going to go to the evening performance. So we were basically there from about 7 o'clock in the morning. Anyway, we were like through the day and we'd done the matinee. And I said, right, I'm going to try and get that review up. And I'd written it in plain text. How difficult could it be? So I came to do it and I'm like, oh, what can I use to open a text file? And then it was like, what cloud service is it on? And it's all right. I've got this app that posts to a WordPress site. It was a nightmare. It was literally like, well, I'll have to copy and paste. That doesn't support HTML. Well, I'll do it in Markdown. Oh, that doesn't support Markdown. It was horrible. And it was 2012. So by that stage, I think I had my third iPad. And I thought it would be a whole lot easier than it actually was. It wasn't easy at all. So I think it's one of those situations, Jonathan. When I look back now, I think, oh, that would just be so simple. I'd just do it from Ulysses. So I can just write it however I want it and publish it from Ulysses. But it isn't that long. And I've been doing that for years, at least 4 years. So there was like a gap from 2012 to, say, 2016, where it was difficult. And then, of course, it was much, much easier. So I think that's how you'd look at it. You'd be thinking, I've got a need to do it, and this is the way to do it. And even though I've got to squint and and that's not right, and you'll make mistakes with it, you'll be pleased you could do it, is where you'll be at. Right. Let's have a look. That's how Adobe CC works. In terms of it being one activation, is it one or two? Two, I think it is. The way Adobe works, I must admit, I don't get that giddy about Adobe anymore, Simon. One, that there's two seats with it. There's no concept of license management on iOS for Adobe Creative Cloud apps. It will never say to you, you've already got this activated on two other iPads. It will just let you do it. Oh, Lola's having lots of fun. She's playing football with Mike. She's going for it, bless her. The weather's been, well, I won't say the weather's bad here today. You know, height of summer, July. We've got a flood warning. So the local river is in very great danger of bursting its banks. It's been raining constantly for about 4 or 5 days. So back to Creative Cloud. So it wouldn't matter how many iOS devices I had. Now, when it comes to a desktop, probably because I use Affinity more than I use Adobe, I don't really concern myself with licensing anymore. The good thing about the Adobe license is you can deactivate it on the website. So that's important when your machine has gone to iMac heaven and you can't get to it to deactivate stuff, which is how Wirecast works. You would not be able to deactivate Wirecast. So you can do it as long as you've got access to the application on the desktop, which you wouldn't have if the hard drive had gone bang, which is very annoying. So I track all of that in 1Password so I know whether something is activated or not and whether I would need to remotely deactivate it. And there's actually quite a number of apps usually the paddle ones. Paddle just infuriate me. You are supposed to be able to get in touch with paddle and they will, you know, give you another seat. But they're really sniffy about it. So if I have that situation, I tend to go through the developer. And I know it means I get in touch with the developer and the developer gets in touch with paddle. But, you know, I say to the developer, paddle are not helping me. And I do that so that they realise that I would like paddle to get feedback from the developers. Don't be so flaming sniffy, basically, because paddle are awkward. It makes me think more than twice if an app, when I come to purchase an app, if I've got to go through paddle. Because I know they are a pain in the proverbial when it comes to the licenses. They manage the licenses and it's a real pain. I totally agree, Kim. The license should go with the owner. It's me that's paying for it. And if I choose to have 27 computers, but they're all mine, and I only ever use them one at a time, that's my decision and not their decision. Have you got your breath back now, dear?
No.
She sounded like she was having a rare old time.
We've had all the toys out.
All of the toys
have been. Green Dragon.
He's very nearly RIP. Yes. He's only got 3 feet now. She ripped one off in a mood. Never get on the wrong side of a hormonal samoid.
We've had football. And we've had two ropes intertwined.
Oh, ropey. Was it noosey?
Noosey intertwined with the red one from Pinky and Perky, whatever it was called.
Genius.
Shall I go and get chicken?
Oh, has she not had chicken?
No.
Oh, let her play with chicken.
And she's just dropped off the
ball.
Do you want chicken?
Oh, there's the chicken.
Come on.
I do hope Kiva's not listening. Getting giddy. She did that the other night. She was asleep and she put chicken like on the mat and she rolled over and it just went squeeze.
Studio visitor.
Chicken! Hello, chicken!
Chicken.
Give chicken to Lola. I don't think it was your toy, Mike. That's a bit weird with setup. I'm not actually seeing on the homepage that they're mentioning it. It says a curated suite of apps. I'm presuming it's in the same subscription. I'm going to leave Mike to look at this more, I think. I'll leave it there, I think. Kiva's staring at me. Sorry, Kiva. She's lying down with chicken.
Oh, she is.
She is.
She's in the doorway.
Oh, so is that the height of our excitement today, set up?
What, playing with Lola?
Oh, playing with Lola is always very important. There was another bit. Everybody's coming round to our way of thinking that a new IMAX is imminent. They're all starting to write stories about it now, saying how far on back order all of the IMAX are. Which, of course, we've been saying for ages. Oh, I'll tell you what is exciting and has only happened in the last 20 minutes. Apple is rolling out updates today to the iWork apps for Mac. The updates bring YouTube and Vimeo integration to numbers and pages, in addition to captions and titles to images, videos and more. Ooh! Any sign of the mail merge returning? Asking for a friend.
Jonathan upgraded his internet.
Oh, not again. I thought you already had a horrifically fast one.
Set up a going iOS, Simon.
They're including iOS apps, Simon, but it gets very complicated.
It's
in terms
beta
of
testing.
What's that word?
And you have to have a...
Go on, find the word,
something
Mike.
That I read earlier.
Yes, Lola.
You have to have something that I read earlier, which I've now lost.
Was it a spare...
A spare device or something.
A spare device, basically. A free device. You're now meant to be 500 up and down. But your Ethernet's not very happy. You're going to need Cat 6, Jonathan.
Did someone say cat?
Ooh. I'm going to say hello, Paul. Is this the end of setup on Mac or setup expansion? I think it's expansion, Simon. It's for things like Ulysses, where there is an iOS app. MindNode, where there is an iOS app. So it's more expansion rather than in terms of replacement. They'd have to be very careful to keep on the right side of Apple with all of that, though, aren't they? You think about it. Because Apple would be getting very sniffy because they wouldn't unoccupied be getting their
30%. Extra device.
There you go, an unoccupied found it in the extra end. Device. I think, Mike, there's something there that could work for the title. An unoccupied extra device. I know what you're doing.
Playing with chicken.
She's nosing it into the office, squeezing it. Oh.
He's ordered Cat 6.
What are you plugging it into, Jonathan? Is there a switch or a hub involved? Because you need to make sure that that's fast enough as well. We upgraded all of ours a good few years ago. Got rid of the 10 and 100s and went for thousands. But that was a good few years
ago.
We
had a team meeting today. I should have played bingo, shouldn't I?
You should. Absolutely. Yeah. Let's all type something in, because Paul can't hear us. So let's all type something in, that in quotes, that something you hear in a meeting. All right? Something you hear in an online meeting. There we go. And I will put in, I have a hard out at, and what time is it where he is? I'll say 8 o'clock. Right, you all do the same. Something you hear in an online meeting and then put what it is. And I'll put a smiley on it.
This is silent bingo.
Yeah, this is silent bingo. It sounds like the cable then, Jonathan. There was Cat 5. In fact, there's a Cat 7 now, isn't there? I think Cat 7's out. But Cat 5 should be capable of going at 500. Oh, I'm loving this. Oh, what else have we got?
Mine was true. Yeah. Mine was true yesterday and today.
Oh, that does my head.
And I'm sitting there thinking, am I in a government briefing?
I'm loving this. Oh, we are bad, aren't we? I'm putting another one in. You'll like this. Ooh, I've got an emoji to go with that. I do. There we go. Oh, this is bad. You can mute anyone, even if it isn't your meeting. Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, Zoom don't let you do that.
I nearly did that this morning.
Oh, we're having too much fun with this guy. Oh, I'm loving it. Never mind setup and never mind new IMAX. This is way more fun. Loving it, Jonathan. She stopped that now. Oh, no, Mike, it's not Mummy, can I have a drink? It's Mummy, can I have a biscuit? Have you not seen that one?
No.
That was a genuine one. It caused a right stink. I think it was on the BBC News. We are definitely having far too much fun. Let me see if I can find that story. We need now to start sending links of stories like that. Oh, where was it?
I could be sexist, but I won't.
Don't. There's a lot of ladies in here who'd have your guts for garters. Is that a British phrase? Just saying.
Guts for garters.
Biscuits. No, not seeing it there.
No, actually, there's a male equivalent.
Is there?
Yeah. Well, all the unshaven blokes.
I'm loving Jonathan's. Do you ever hear from that idiot at work? Oh. I'm going to have to do a different search. Can I have... Gotta find this story. It is so good. Right. It was about 5 days ago. It was on the Guardian site. Oh, do you remember that bloke? The expert in the Middle East?
Yeah.
He's always on here. No, this was a kid who came in and he was demanding two biscuits. And you know, like you're live in a conference.
I had a kid come and sit on his mother's knee the other day.
I just wait for the dogs. The dogs and the cats.
I do.
Right, let's get this in. Right, I need the other one first. Oh, this is great fun. I'm enjoying this. Right, I'm going to get this one in.
That all the time, Kim. Has this training started yet? Because I can't hear anything.
That is so disrespectful.
Then I have to stop and I have to say, can everyone else hear me? Oh, it must just be Fred. Fred must have a problem. So I have to then get in the chat and type Fred, log out and log in again.
I'm going to have to shorten that. It won't take it. Crying out loud. Never had one of these days. Right, let's copy that. Then let's do that. Let's make sure it's working. Oh, dear. Right, I'll stick it in there.
There's a whole industry sprung up, hasn't there, out of COVID? Online meeting memes.
Oh, yes. Someone with no kids. I'd just be as understanding as I can. Oh, you'll have to listen later, Paul. There you go. Mummy, can I have two biscuits? Lola just takes the tin and be done with it. Oh. Right, let's tell him he'll need to listen later.
I love that one from Kim. It's so true.
Which one?
Hold your new baby up so we can see him. Oh, you have to register.
What for?
For the one you've sent.
What, the Guardian?
Yeah.
You don't.
Register for free and continue reading.
Well, I've not registered.
Oh.
It's just there.
Let's try another browser.
Try a different browser, Mike. There's loads of videos on there of kids. I do try and be understanding, and I really did feel for that.
No, I don't have to register with Firefox.
There you go. Yeah. I'm not using whatever you were. I did feel for that Robert Kelly, because, you know, he was in his office, the door was shut, and the wife was supposed to be looking after the kids. So I really did feel for him. But some of these, the one I saw was Jonathan Ashworth from the Labour. What's his position? Labour spokesman on something or other. Oh, Shadow Health Secretary. That's right. And his kids were coming in the kitchen and he was like, oh, my God, I'm going to go viral. You know, don't. And I'm thinking, if that was a dog misbehaving, you would be judged for it. You really would. There's also one here about Cristiano Ronaldo, who got child-bombed. Ronaldo's son arrived home from school and spotting him, Ronaldo called him over dressed in full Superman outfit, complete with cape. A very shy Cristiano Jr. comes over before being kissed by his father, and he allows the boys gratefully... Now, that wasn't the kid. That was him dragging the kid in.
I've seen kids in the background. It just humanises it, actually, doesn't it?
I guess so. But often, I know this is a sweeping generalisation, but often you'll find that people with no pets have no patience with you and your dogs, but they do expect to foist their children down your throat.
True.
Which doesn't appeal
it's
to
like
me.
Like Kim says,
yeah.
Hold your new baby up so we can see him.
Yeah, I mean, what for? But that is a great story. Use Firefox if it asks you to log in. You don't need to log in with the Guardian. There is an option at the bottom of the story. It's like a huge banner across it that says, you know, please support journalism, blah, blah, blah. But just say no and get rid of it and then read the whole story. There's loads on there. I just think, like, children should have more idea of what's going on these days. Well, they often have more idea than the parents. The classic, though, and it's not in there. Do you remember that one with Trini from Trini and Susanna, where her boyfriend wandered behind her naked?
Yeah.
That was hysterical. Oh, we're having fun with this. Right, should we move on? We were talking about IMAX, weren't we? And new toys. But they're not out yet. No new toys yet. But we have had movement here in the UK. Apparently, COVID thing all over. So yesterday, darling. Beauty salons are opening on Monday. Gyms are opening on Monday. And indoor pools, or is it gyms and indoor pools, are opening on the 25th of July. Apparently, no crisis anymore. Anybody going to these places? Swift answer here. No, not bothering. I think the nail thing, the nail bar thing, was in relation to the government getting it in the neck. The government made a big mistake. Somebody from around here, Cheshire somewhere, the MP for somewhere round near us, asked a question of Boris. And in replying, they were talking about a place called, I think it was Lush Lashes, which is difficult enough to say. And Boris made a joke about it. And all the people in the House of Commons were rolling about laughing. You know, like the Smash Men in the ad. And the ladies behind beauty salons and nail bars got really uppity and were saying it was sexist, that their businesses are really suffering. They've got no income. They've got people on furlough, blah, blah, blah. And the government are laughing at them. And it's everyday sexism. All of a sudden, the day after, nail bars can open on Monday. Funny that, isn't it? But whether that's actually dangerous or not, I have no idea. But they've not actually dealt with the fact that the numbers are on the rise. Is this happening everywhere else? Let me know. Jonathan, you're going swimming. Guess who isn't? Me! And am I going to a nail bar? No, not going there either. But I do know Nina's desperate to have her nails done, isn't she?
She is.
I can't fathom why. Am I missing something, ladies? Or gents, if that's your kink. No, don't have my nails done. Had the misfortune once of seeing somebody who just had their fake nails removed. Whoa, what a mess underneath. It was like the sight you see when you peel something off a wall and it leaves like the gluey residue behind. Put me off for life. My nails are naturally my own, which is why when you see me do an unboxing, sometimes they're filthy. They've grown a smidgen since I cut them all down to absolutely nothing. But nail bars? Tattoo parlour looks tempting. Really? Go on, Jonathan. If you were having a tattoo, what would you have a tattoo of? Maybe you've already got a tattoo. You might want to share that with us. But if you were having a tattoo, in fact, everybody can answer that. If you were having a tattoo, what would you have a tattoo of? Should we double or quits on that and ask where? Ooh, what would you have a tattoo of, Mike?
Munich clock.
Ooh, nice. Not the bird. That's put you in an awkward position, hasn't it?
Bird on one ankle, clock on the other.
Ah, right. I did actually...
Well, bird on one buttock and clock on the other.
Really? TMI. I did have a guy, well, actually, he contacted the website, didn't he? And he said, you know, this is your logo and it's the bird, the Munich bird. And he said, I know it's your copyright, but I'm writing to ask your permission. Can I have a tattoo of it? So, you know, can I take a copy of the website, which was incredibly tiny, and have a tattoo of it? And Mike obviously had to ask me because I designed it. And I went, yeah, that's fine. So I actually got a bigger copy of it and I sent it to this guy. And when he'd had it done, he sent it back. I think it was on his arm. And he sent it back and there was my design on tattooed on somebody's arm. My claim to fame. Oh, Jonathan. I actually think here I could do a mock-up of this. Hello, Anthony. Oh, Debbie's gyms are already open, as are the nail bars and the haircutting places. Your hair is still shaggy and will stay that way. Me too, Debbie. Me too. I don't have a gym membership. This shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody particularly, but no, I don't. I'm not actually quite sure why gyms were treated like... I didn't think people got that close. But when you look at what they've done with them, they've got like the running machines now have plastic sheets between them, rigid, transparent sheets between them. It kind of makes sense, I guess. I hadn't thought that one all the way through. I'll do my hair eventually. There's no particular panic. I am liking Jonathan's idea of a tattoo. Do you remember that demo I did, Jonathan, of how to put a tattoo on somebody? Or should I do that again tomorrow? Good night, Jonathan. The nail salons have a plastic panel. Looks like you stick your arms through. If you think about it, you know, it would be like at a bank, wouldn't it? Where you've got like an opening at the bottom. I mean, they really do only need to work on your nails. So I don't see that that would have been a problem from the get-go. I don't know why they've done that here. I think they've not made a distinction between the type of beauty treatments. So having your nails done, I would say, you know, if you could put them underneath, even like a shower curtain affair. But if you could put them underneath something, that would be fairly safe. But they've not made a distinction between that and what's that thing they do with... In fact, maybe they don't do it anymore. I don't know. I never partook of this kind of rubbish. The eyebrow thing. Threading. That. Because you would have to get quite close with that, wouldn't you? There was no distinction here at all. So, yes, chickens about again. Oh, wow. No tats for Debbie, but sister and brother-in-law are tatted from head to toe. Wow. Where'd she get Lola? One of a chicken. I've never been tempted with a tattoo. I honestly can't imagine what on earth I would ever have tattooed anywhere. I think it's... Everyone says it's quite painful. And I'm like, why would you subject yourself to this? I don't think they age well, no. Other thing I didn't realise, I only learnt this about a couple of months back, was... when you say they don't age well, I'd always thought of them as like, you know, as you get older and things start heading south, not a good look. But apparently the actual ink itself bleeds and the tattoos don't look as sharp. And then you need to have them redone. And I'm like, really? So, yeah, kind of put me off. You'd rather spend your money on other things. I just give mine to Apple Kim. That works for us both. Apple enjoy it and so do I. No, I can't see me ever getting a tattoo. Oh, you've done temporary tattoos. Only as a child. I did, they were like transfers. I think you got them wet, didn't you?
Yeah.
They were like on a sheet of plastic and you put it on your hand and then you kind of rubbed on the back. But I mean, they lasted all of 2 minutes. It wasn't even like these henna ones that last a few days or weeks. Ooh, daughter's inked across the whole back. Wow, brave, very brave. You ain't needles, no tattoos for you. I'm with you. Get beta team on my arm. Oh, Simon, jealousy's a terrible thing. If I do, then you'll have to. Yeah, what I could do is I could rent out space, couldn't I? To all these companies. You know, I'll get a tattoo on the arm and, you know, I want one for that. They don't look good on wrinkles. No, that could be most unfortunate, Deb. You could definitely have a Scunthorpe moment there, couldn't you, Mike?
Mm.
Yes, you definitely don't want that. No, I've never, ever been tempted. There was actually a while ago, it would have been 3 years ago now, in the Manchester area, there all of the tattoo parlours opened up one Sunday and they were doing free tattoos. Now, when I say free tattoos, not the tattoo of your choice. It was for a particular reason. And if you wanted this particular tattoo, you could have it and they would do it free. And it was the Manchester Bee. And it was because it was about probably about a week after the Manchester bomb, the one at the arena at the Ariana Grande concert. So all the tattoo parlours opened this particular Sunday when they didn't normally open. And they would do the Manchester Bee for you for free. And we went up somewhere near Altrincham, didn't we? And the queue was out of the door and down the street. It was amazing. And I said to Mike, what's the queue for? And when we got round the corner, I said, oh, it's the free tattoos. And they were all having the Manchester B done. Don't know where. I'm presuming there was a maximum size, etc., for the B. But yeah, they were doing that. And all over the papers for the following week. I still wasn't tempted. You mean like the million-dollar pixels? Yes, definitely, Simon. But no, that's not happening. Can you imagine? You had a tattoo and then the thing went bust. But yeah, they had the Manchester Bees all over. A lot of ladies had it done like on a shoulder. And, you know, it looked good because it was actually so tiny, but no, I still wasn't tempted. It's like, no, walk away, leave it alone, leave it alone. Actually, I've noticed a lot of people, you know, those videos I made the mistake of watching one. And now YouTube thinks I'm addicted. These planner videos, they are absolute classics. I'm like watching them and I am howling and rolling on the floor. There was a lady doing one the other day and she like moved her hands in over the top of a planner and you could see her right arm. She had the most amazing tattoo of a feather, Mike. It was huge. It went from like down near her wrist, as far as you could see. I could only see up to the elbow. This huge feather. Mm. Well, we always have a thing with Mayer and his feathers. Who told us that? It was somebody told Mum. Basically, I don't know if like an old wives' tale or something, but if somebody passes and you find a feather, it's basically like they're thinking of you from the other side. So every time I see a feather now, obviously I think of Maya. What happened was about a week after he died, we were totally bereft, couldn't even stand up. I have no recollection other than like odd incidences like this feather. And there was a couple more, but I literally have no memory at all of 2 months of my life. Just nothing.
When a feather appears, an angel is near.
That's basically what she was saying, I think. Yeah. So we took it to mean Maya. So this particular morning, we gets up and like been like, there's one feather there. There's one feather. And it's a kind of sort of cognizance thing. Somebody tells you that and then you start recognising feathers. But this particular morning, there was no mistake, was there? We went out into the garden and the place was absolutely covered in white feathers. And we just stood there. I mean, it was like the back end of July, probably mid-July. Maya had been gone about 10 days. So obviously it wasn't snow or anything, but the back garden looked like it had snowed. It was covered in white feathers. And I looked at Mike and he looked at me and we went, where are they from? It looked like somebody had ripped a pillow open and just deposited them all over the garden. As we investigated further and got down to the bin, it was some kind of bird, wasn't it?
Mm.
That had obviously been chased by something and there'd been a heck of a scrap in the back garden and it was full of feathers. Not quite sure what the bird was, but we ended up burying the bird. The bird was deceased, but the garden was full of feathers, so we blame Maya for that one. Oh, you and me, Kim, what are we like? Artie Mays with the feather. I'm not sure. What?
Kiva just stuck her nose on my pie that I just took out the oven. If I wanted a tattoo, I'd get one of Kiva.
Oh, we could have one of Lola and one of Maya, couldn't we? They look like twins. Literally, they do. They look like twins. She's morphed into him because she used to look very, very fox-like, didn't she? Because girl Sammies are like a little bit smaller and a smaller nose. But she's just morphed into Maya. And you've got those cheeky eyes now, particularly when she's got chicky. Oh, great fun. Yeah, that would be a good one. That tattoo of Maya. Mum would have gone mad if I'd have a tattoo.
My brother's got one.
I thought he had two now.
Is it two? I don't know.
I think he had one to cover up the first one. That's what I heard. Why do you see you couldn't do
it's
anything?
All right. It's not his ex-wife's name.
That would have been bad. No, I'm sure he had one to cover up the first one, which was a bit 90s, wasn't it?
It was an acid smiley face.
Yeah. So I'm sure he's got something to cover that up now. You know, stick a rose over the top of it or something. They're just a bit permanent for my liking. Oh, I also saw one of those women with the planners who actually had a tattoo around the wedding ring finger. As though instead of having a ring, they got a tattoo. You know what I don't like about tattoos, really? They can look absolutely beautiful. You know, like the one Cheryl Cole's got that's red? It's yeah. Roses and they're, it's a brilliant red colour. It's amazing. But you know when they're like that kind of dark blue thing and then they kind of go weird?
Yeah.
Somehow black looks better. Why are most tattoos that kind of bluey colour? The petrol bluey colour? The colour doesn't appeal to me. But I believe this, I don't know how true this is. This came from an episode of The X-Files when I think it was Scully got a tattoo and it was a rose and she started hallucinating. It was something to do with it's very difficult to get red dye. So they'd used something that turned out to be hallucinogenic. This is another problem. No, steer me away from the tattoos, Mike. Don't let me anywhere near them. Oh, and the other thing, the piercing parlour. Don't let me near that either.
Back to Prince Albert.
That would not end well. No, I can't. No, no. Having my ears done, I needed anaesthetic. No, definitely not. Oh, what's going on here? Similar thing happened last year. Watched back on the CCTV. A cat had tried to catch the bird and the bird was to jettison feathers so it could get away. No, we didn't have the cameras at the time, but it would have been fascinating. There were just, I mean, we were like kind of half wanting to believe it and half like, it's a coincidence, don't be ridiculous. And then we walk out and it looked like Christmas. There was that many feathers. I don't know. Even though we found the bird, it was basically like bright white. So it didn't look like a pigeon or anything. And how it still had any feathers left, I don't know. But it did. So I must admit, I do think that when I see a feather. So a feather wouldn't be a bad idea. But I'm definitely not going to get a tattoo. Definitely. Oh, my. So where was I with that one? Oh, yes, that was the excitement, wasn't it, that I was in here with? Yes, we've got an update to iWork, which I was reading through. Oh, Mike. Numbers now has XLookup, XMatch and RegEx.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. That's quite an improvement, the XLookup thing, though.
Yes.
Because I wasn't aware it had H and V lookup, to be honest. Oh, that's good.
I'll go and download
it. I'm excited now. They finally listened to me. Yay! It's a miracle.
What's it back?
No. You're going to want this, Mike. This is something you're going to want. This is not adding mail merge back. I haven't got that far yet. I'm in Keynote at this point. COVID's finally provided something useful. Number one item on the Keynote update is use the new Play SlideShare in Window option to have access to other applications while presenting locally or via a video conference. I've only been asking for that for 13 years. Well done, Apple. Took COVID to do it though, didn't it? Movies can now play through slide transitions, add the same movie to multiple slides to play from one slide to the next. Yes, about time. Use the align to path option to have objects stay pointed in the correct direction while following a motion path. That was when you tried doing it with planes. It was hideous. And you can now add captions and titles to images, video shapes and other objects. What have we got in pages? Because that Keynote one, that's a good one. I think I'll demonstrate the new features of iWork tomorrow. How about that? Which means I can play with them and call it prep. Right, pages. You can play YouTube and Vimeo videos right inside the documents. Does anybody do that? I've never done that. Done it in Keynote, but not live. I tend to download the video and put the video into Keynote. Because I don't want a problem where I'm then presenting it and then the video's disappeared. So no, don't do that. Pages. Easily add captions and titles to images, videos, shapes and other objects. Create more flexible formulas using new functions. Ooh. And the next one seems to be to do with their transition. They're going to kill iBooks Author. It's just a matter of time. Import an iBooks author file to work on it directly in Pages. Ooh. Oh, in fact, it's saying they have discontinued iBooks author. I did not hear that. Oh, no. You're going to need to transition to pages in the near future. Shall I do a session on that while we're at it, seeing as though I've actually got books in iBooks author format? Swines! Right, we'll do an iWork update thing. We'll have a look at what's new with it. I'll persuade Mike to do the XLookUp bit with a big stick. That update to Keynote, that is exactly what's been needed for years and years and years. But I've got a feeling they will have done it wrong. By which I mean, it says you can play it in a window. Do you have access to your presenter's notes? Because if you don't, that's pretty useless. But we'll see. You could do it with an iPad. So if it plays in a window on the local machine and you can't see your presenter notes, you hook it up to your iPad, you'll be able to see the presenter notes on your iPad. This is why you need to buy computers and iPads and phones and all the other devices, because you're fixing their problems. But we'll see what that brings. That looks rather good. So that's definitely something that I will look at tomorrow. What else have we had announced today? Not much, to be honest. They're still banging on about scanning QR codes, which is like, really? But no news about the iMac yet, although everybody, as I said at the beginning, is coming around to my way of thinking. It's going to be sooner rather than later. But would they announce it on a Thursday? Unlikely. They have announced something on a Friday before, but I'll be honest with you, if they announce it on a Friday, they're usually trying to bury it. If they announce it on a Friday, they tend to do it after the markets have closed, and they hope that the markets by Monday have totally forgotten what they've just done. I don't think they need to do this with a new iMac. That would probably be good news for the markets. So I would be thinking about probably next Tuesday, which was what I said last week. But hey, they're a little bit behind me. What can I say? How do you hook up your iPad to see the presenter's notes? Well, there used to be an app, Kim, and it was a separate download. It was called Keynote Remote. Keynote Remote, RIP. What they do now is you actually install on your iOS device Keynote, and you use the preferences of the desktop version and the preferences of the iOS version to talk to each other. Now, could I show you that? Let's have a ponder. Could I actually show you that? Because you know what those cameras are like. They focus when they feel like it. Probably. I could probably show you that. That's the thing that I did where I had about 9 iPads hooked up to a laptop and everybody had a different view of it, and it worked fabulously. So at least they're actually still updating these things, but I can't help thinking that to use Pages to make an iBooks author file is a backward step. I'm pretty confident that Pages isn't iBooks author. I've got a real soft spot for iBooks author because I had a pro-level course in iBooks author that people could buy, and it's still there, so I'll have to take that away. That's not really going to work any longer, is it, Mike? iBooks author, RIP.
No.
When did it come out? 2012, so it's been with us 8 years. It was a fantastic app, and they started to transition the functionality of making an iBook into Pages a good few years ago. But it seemed silly to me. You've taken the functionality of a totally separate app that's never had the interface update that iWork has had. You're trying to shoehorn that functionality into Pages, but you've dropped the mail merge. It makes no sense. And why are you adding stuff into Numbers when you still haven't added back the things into Pages? They'll come round to my way of thinking in the end, just like they have with this playing it in a window. I'm going to go away and have a look at that and see if it plays it in a window to my satisfaction. And the answer to that is probably not. But that would potentially change how I could do an after hours. Because with after hours, as you know, I have that running and then I hide it and then I bring it back seamlessly with shortcut magic. If I had it in a window, it wouldn't actually matter where it was. I could actually go straight into the presentation and it might look a little bit neater. So I will definitely have a look at that. But it is going to depend on whether I can see the presenter's notes or not. I don't tend to put too much in the presenter's notes. Would it be any use to anybody to see behind the scenes of how I put those presentations together and what is actually in them? Because if I use a stock image in the presenter's notes, I'll actually put the source of the stock image. And that's just in case YouTube come on to me and say, hang on a minute, you know, copyright claim on the image. And I can say, well, I got it from here and, you know, there's a licensing for it. So I do tend to paste the link to any images in it. And I make that very pale grey because I don't want my eye caught by it when I'm presenting. The rest of the stuff that's in there, if it's something absolutely critical that I say, I'll tend to put it in red. And the rest of it is literally what I would just call like bits of notes. It's not verbatim. It's just things I don't want to forget to say. But it would I want to go without it? Oh, Kim likes that idea. Awesome. I have done. Mike and I did a presentation. It's probably one of the very few, isn't it, that wasn't a learning type tutorial-y thing. It was how people would normally use PowerPoint, not for training purposes. So it was basically a life story bit. So we had this thing and we'd practiced it to the nth degree. This was the one where we shared it and it all went to heck in a handcart. And then we had to stop sharing it. It was a nightmare. We needed to make sure the timing was spot on. So we went through it and went through it and went through it and went through it. We reckoned we could do it with a tailing wind in 20 minutes, but 21 minutes would have been better. But when we did it live, it was like there was one thing we hadn't accounted for, and that was we knew there was humour in it. But when you're delivering it, they got the humour as well, but that you needed to give them time to laugh. You couldn't talk over them. So it actually took 23 minutes. But I think it took nearly 25 the first time, didn't it? We got it down to 23 for the second one. But the second time we did it, we couldn't see the presenter's notes. So it was a good job that we were incredibly well rehearsed and knew exactly what we were going to say. And I think Mike missed a bit and then I said that and then I missed a bit and he said that. So we were there to support each other as well. But when I'm thinking of like Friday night, I do put notes on it as to what's coming next or things that I want to say, oh, I've got a link for that, you know, that kind of stuff. It would be nice to be able to see it. So I will investigate for you, save you the job. In terms of showing you how I actually start that from scratch. I usually, well, there is no file new, use a template. Yes, Lola, you squeak your chicken, babe. I have to open up a file that I consider to be a template and then make a copy of it. That gives me all the dividers, etc. And then, and this probably happens on a Friday night, I will finish the show. It will probably be around 1 o'clock. Mike may have gone to bed and I'll probably take either an hour or 2 hours. And I will literally just whiz through, putting the dates in. And if I put the date in and something's done, then I will take one of the dots away, the red dots, the amber dots and the green dots, and start putting sections in and all that kind of stuff. It's probably the kind of demo that would work better as like a work with me thing, which incidentally meant to ask everybody. So quick, pop quiz. Who's on Twitch? Who's got a Twitch account? Do you watch anything on Twitch? I got an email from this content creator that I've known about for years and years, who has moved from Zoom, got complaints about Zoom, Mike. I'll explain what particular things. But he's moved his webinars from Zoom to Twitch. Wow. And I'm thinking, apples and oranges. I don't see Twitch as being Zoom. So who's got a Twitch? Oh, Kim's got a Twitch account. You can have a Twitch account where you kind of comment on videos and you follow other people, or you can make it a creator account. I thought it was mainly for gaming and I thought it was mainly games on there. It did actually seem to be a lot of games, but increasingly people are putting tutorials up there. You've been tracking the protests in Seattle. So the protests are like on there as like entertainment to watch. I shouldn't be surprised, should I? but I am. And the ones I saw, I created an account. And it said, like, these creators are live. And it asked you what kind of things you would be interested in. A lot of them were games. It didn't just say games. It actually broke it down. It said, like, Fortnite and Defender of the whatever. So they were actually different. I'd only ever heard of Fortnite. There didn't seem much in the way of tutorials because there didn't seem to be much in the way of a category for it. But what was strange was, you know, I found this creator that I knew about, and then I found another creator I'd heard of, and I thought there is obviously this kind of movement to take it onto Twitch. And I wondered why. Anthony's never used Twitch. What are the advantages over YouTube? I honestly don't know, Anthony. It could be... I mean, we actually took ours from Adobe Connect into YouTube. And I remember at the beginning, Graham got in touch and he said, this is really weird, but, you know, to talk in the chat, I had to create a YouTube channel. I don't particularly want a YouTube channel. And obviously, Mike and I had got a YouTube channel, so we weren't aware that that was necessary to chat. Some people don't have a YouTube channel and they don't want a YouTube channel, so they can't chat. So we were very mindful of that on YouTube. Twitch seems to be, I mean, it's a platform for live streamers, and up to 2016, it was only for gameplay. So that's why predominantly, probably about 60 to 80% of their content is games. But you can just stream to it in the same way that you could stream to YouTube. Benefits of it over YouTube. I could say people who tend to go to Twitch are looking for something to watch that's live. So you might pick up viewers, but it's a very, it feels very different. It feels to be the kind of stuff you would do that was more, or in fact, less formal. So say like a work with me session. There's a lot of creators who might be like, well, take me. So tonight when we finish Marooned, I will take the audio file and I will edit it in Hindenburg and I will publish it via Feeder and I'll put it on the website and I'll upload it to MacBytes FM and get it in the rotation of stuff. Now, I wouldn't particularly live stream myself doing that to YouTube, and certainly not like every day because it's the same thing. So it feels a little less formal. So you could literally just say, I'm going to live stream it. I'm just going to, and you could talk through what you're doing while you're doing it. So it seems to be more random content that you would think of doing. And it's very much in the moment. The replay is there if people want to watch it. But the beauty of it is that there's chat at the time and it's of the moment. But in a way, I mean, you can monetize it if you want to. There are ways to do that. I've not investigated to any great degree. But when you say advantages over YouTube, they're similar enough to be interchangeable, but different enough in terms of not the practicalities of what you're doing, which is streaming, just different enough in terms of the way people think of them. So I think a lot of people still think of Twitch as for gaming, but increasingly there are creators on there, and what they're doing is extra content. It's extra live streams. And in a way, it's to kind of keep what they're doing off YouTube. So YouTube becomes their like curated content, deliberate content. But on Twitch, they're just kind of being a little more laid back and showing you basically live streaming. They're just showing you what they're doing in terms of producing this show and making some graphics and doing this and doing that. They'll have a chat with you and then just end the stream. All a bit weird, because I wouldn't, obviously, having only just created the account, I wouldn't have anybody on there who would be following me. I guess people would find you because at some point you'd say exactly the same about YouTube. I remember creating my YouTube account deliberately, 2011, and saying to Mike, can you follow me so I don't look sad? And I've only got like zero followers. And when he did, I got one follower, right? And I expected it to stay there. Then I started putting out, now these weren't deliberately put out videos back in the day. These were chunks that I'd taken out of a webinar because you could only make a video that was 15 minutes long. So I had these chunks of videos. I couldn't take the whole thing and upload it. And I remember having one and it was 15 minutes, 12 seconds. And I thought, there's no way I'm going to get 12 seconds off this from the beginning or the end. I'll have to take some bits out of the middle. And I did. I literally went through this video and it was like, I can get 1 second out there. Then I got to another bit. I can get another second out there. And in the 15 minutes, 12 seconds, I managed to get about 14, 15 seconds out of it. And that took it under the 15 minute limit, which meant I could upload it. But the first time I got an email from YouTube to say, you know, somebody's followed you, I nearly fell over. Honestly, I did. It was like, somebody wants to follow. Wow. And I think it feels a little bit like that on Twitch, because I've not done anything on there yet. I would want to kind of, you really got to make sure as a creator that you stick to the rules. So I don't know what the rules are. So, you know, like, is there a limit on what, you know, what do you need in terms of technical? What quality is it streaming in and all of that? Paul, that's classic. One YouTube subscriber and I haven't posted any videos yet. Someone has belief in you, Paul. Go with it. Just go with it. I think broadcasting wise, I think they've got their own suite of stuff. So I did contemplate whether you could broadcast to both at the same time. But I thought that might just cause confusion. So it's something that I'm thinking about, but I'm not 100% sold on yet. It's certainly one way that you could literally do a rehearsal, because it feels on Twitch a little less formal, that people have lower expectations, that their expectations are to kind of interact with you on a more personal level, and things don't need to be quite so polished. You are just live streaming, so it doesn't need to be perfect. And the good thing with that is that you can talk about it and you can get their feedback. But if you start doing a rehearsal and something happens, you tend to stop. But if you're doing it live, you can't. I remember once, probably about 2012, I'd taken to doing some sessions on iBooks Author, RIP, and I was doing one during the day, and this was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon my time, so 6 a.m. on the West Coast. And this particular day, I'd arranged that I was going to do this live session at a certain time. I think it was 8 o'clock in the evening my time, which would have been noon on the West Coast. And I'd got this thing arranged for like a month in hand. And then Apple announced they were doing an impromptu event. And I'd got bookings for this thing at 8 o'clock. And I'm like, no, I can't be in two places at once. So the day got nearer and nearer. I thought, you're going to have to do something. You know, you've got bookings for this thing. And I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll record a session on the day. Right. And if I'm still involved in the live thing that I need to be doing, you know, then I'll broadcast this prereq. So I thought, I'll do it at 2 o'clock. And I sat down at 2 o'clock, fair enough, to do it. And my mum and dad were here at the time. Dad really wasn't well, so he was in bed downstairs. And I remember saying to mum, I'm going to have to do this recording. So, you know, quiet, if that's okay. And I sat there and I at the beginning, I thought, you're going to just have to pretend it's live. Whereas if it was live, I'd have just carried on. You misspeak a million times and you don't correct yourself. But if you are recording it and you know there isn't a live audience, you will stop and you will try and correct yourself, or you'll be trying to think of just the right word. Whereas live, you'll go, oh, you know what I mean, the thingy. And you can't say that in a video. So 2 o'clock came and I thought, you're going to have to pretend it's live. And I did. I did my best. When I'd done it, the session was about an hour. And I remember going back and making 2 edits. And I really had really, really pushed myself, you know, to the fact there was only 2 edits that were needed. But now I think you would probably, if you were doing that, and there was a, you felt you needed to do it in one go. Well, if you just record yourself, you'll stop. But if you were to record it and go live to Twitch at the same time, you wouldn't be able to. Or people would sort of kind of see behind the curtain. So I think that's what some people are actually doing with it. So I need to do a little bit more research on it. But I don't think it would replace YouTube. YouTube are far too... they've got a whole system going on there for creators. So if you guys don't make videos, then you see the kind of consumer side of it. As a creator, you see the creator side of it and you see how much work goes into, you know, like YouTube marrying up the ads that they're getting with the content you're creating and all of that kind of thing. And actually, there's a whole creator set of videos that's in the background. So they are available on YouTube if you go look for them. But as a creator, they kind of push through to your dashboard. And it'll be things like they pushed a video through to me and they were talking about something called self-certification. And I looked at it and thought, self what? Well, what's this? And I read it, and basically they were rolling out a trial where you didn't have to wait for your videos to be monetized. So I had a look at it, and then I thought, oh, I don't know if I've got that enabled or not. And I went through, and I'd got it enabled. So now I can self-certify my own content, and I don't need to wait for a human review on every video, which slows your production down a lot. So I see all of the effort that YouTube put in, and I don't know anything at all about how Twitch do that. But something to think about, because the more platforms, the better. Is that the checkmarky thing? I don't think it is, Paul, no. It's something in your creator studio. It comes up as a banner right across the top. Can't remember the colour, but yellowish seemed. Let me log in and see if it's still there. They tend to push out messages to you across the top. So in your creator studio, which is studio.youtube.com, across the top, every now and then, you'll see the kind of the top of the screen where it says studio and then there's like a white bar will push down the screen a little bit and there'll be messages across the top. And it was one of these messages. I had two messages and one was talking about this self-certification thing. I don't see that there is anything visual that people can see, but when you log into your studio, you will know that you have got this thing. And it just helps a bit that you don't have to wait. Oh, I've got a follower. Thank you, Kim. Amazing. Now I need to do something, don't I? I foresee it being the kind of thing where you just randomly decide that you're going to do something. So, like, say I'm planning my week, like all these women that stick stickers on pages and stuff. It's quite a different world for me. It's been eye-opening. But if I decided I was going to, you know, plan my week or plan my month, it wouldn't, if it was a YouTube video, I would feel the need for it to be something that you could deploy. So I wouldn't just sit there and do it. I'd be thinking, okay, so I'm planning my week, so how do I turn that into a tutorial? I see Twitch as somewhere where I would more likely say, do you know what? I'm just going to plan my week or month for the next hour and I'll just live stream it and see if anybody's interested. That kind of thing. That's the differentiation that I would see. But I don't know if that's right or not. I don't know. I think the biggest thing is it depends on the audience. And I think in YouTube, people have an expectation that they will type in. I mean, here's another example for you. That they would type something in and they would get a video that solved their problem. So how do I, in Mike's case, steering lock on such and such a car jammed? How do I unlock it? And Mike did that and he got a video on it. And there was like a 5-minute video telling you what to do and it worked. It seems to me YouTube is, I'll type in what my problem is and somebody will have a solution for it. In a way, if you think about After Hours, it's more of a tech chat show, come into action, come. Actually, that might be better suited to Twitch because I choose not to make those videos searchable. They're not hidden, but you need to go to the playlist to get to them. And that's because if they were on my page and people were looking, I would be getting 3 million snotograms. But have you seen the length of this video? It's ridiculous. And the fact that you've got a clickable index underneath completely bypasses them. It's like they want the knowledge of the 4 hours, 5 minutes of the show, but preferably at like 3,000 speed, injected into their head. They don't actually want to take the time to watch live or interact or ask questions. Give me the bottom line and give it me in 30 seconds. So I choose not to make them public. They are unlisted, which is halfway between private and public. Unlisted. You can find them if you know where they are. That kind of content might work better on Twitch. Don't know. Don't know. But there's lots of content, obviously different types of content that you can create. And Twitch is just one option. So I'll probably put something up there. But in my head, it makes sense. It's live. It's got to be live. You can't kind of do a video and then push it up there. That's not what the platform's about. So maybe Kim might be just you and I, Kim. If I decide to just impromptu try it, because obviously I'd need to test it as well. You'd need to wire it up with some broadcast software. So I'd need to investigate all of that as well. What I will say is, because it developed as a gaming platform, it's very much cutting edge in terms of the content of how they've done it. So already the Elgato Stream Deck is hooked up to it all. And there is some kind of broadcast studio that I think you can just use in a browser. You don't need the overhead of something like Wirecast running or Ecamm. You can use those if you want, because you can obviously hook it up with a stream key. But beyond that, I'm not quite sure, so I'll have to have a look. Can't leave Kim hanging on forever, can we? How are you doing with the game? Have they started
just
yet?
Just
starting it, and you're watching. Who are they playing?
Villa.
Ah, Villa. At Villa Park? We don't like Villa Park, do we?
No. Definitely dog.
We both went to Villa Park in 1991, but neither of us knew the other was there. Happy days, Mike. Happy days. That was when one of the players, this is truth, the players would come out and they would warm up. And they didn't normally bring out like a coach with them or anything. But about 5 or 6 players came out to warm up. And I had this thing that Brian Robson was never fit 2 minutes together. Captain Marvel, never fit 2 minutes together. He actually managed to injure himself in the warm-up. Do you remember the physio coming out, shaking his head like, what did you do? Injured himself in the warm-up. Happy, happy days. It will let Kim know if I'm live. Ooh! Well, we'll have to see. We'll have to see. But I'm about to head off. We're not going to get a sensible word out of Mike while he's watching the football. And I'm about to head off to research iWork and see if it's as good as I would like it to be. We'll see how that goes. I should actually be in some kind of figurehead type of role, like a president of. I should be Apple's VP of iWork. Things would certainly move along faster than they are doing.
There's a president's role going.
President's role of what?
Brooklands.
Oh, that's true.
An email was sent out last night.
Was it? Oh, what? Requesting volunteers?
Yeah.
Willing victims?
Yeah.
Ah, good luck with that.
You'll have so much fun.
Who did it come from?
It's a combination of Tweedledum and Tweedledee, I think.
Crying out loud. Yeah, because this year's turned out to be such joy, hasn't it? No, you did last year. It's not your turn. Stuart's before you. Let's see how that goes. I think it should go to a lady. We threatened it, didn't we, with Anne? And I think Tina would be brilliant. I think Tina should do it. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. It will be great and all virtual gear. No, they've actually got a president this year, Paul. I'm presuming this is the one who's trying to sort it out for next year.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are virtual presidents this year. They're doing a great job, aren't they?
They are.
You know, they're coming up with, like, events.
With my help.
With Mike's help, obviously. He's number one helper. Talking of which, you're doing number one on Monday, aren't you? But they're being innovative. So one guy had a comedian on. Somebody else is doing Desert Island Discs. So they're putting a lot of effort That's into tonight. Thinking it through. Is it? Yeah. Oh, I thought it was next week. But we don't have a VP this year, hence looking for a P for next year. Oh, it'll all out in the end. It'll all sort itself out. But I'm going to head off and look at iWork. And you know what's going to happen tomorrow night, don't you? They'll be like, that could have been better. Unless they surprise me pleasantly. Let's see how that goes tonight. I will report back tomorrow. Keep your eye out for an email in the next sort of 4 to 5 hours. When I've decided what it is I'm actually doing tomorrow. Mike's got BI, just saying. But we'll be back with you tomorrow for Two Show Friday. But for the moment, it's good night from me.
It's good night from me.
And we'll both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.